Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Michael Denk, currently the associate pastor at St. Joseph Parish in Amherst. Welcome, Father.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
It's great to have you. We're going to continue our discussion from the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church, about what we believe as Catholics, and we've been discussing the Holy Eucharist. Father, what leads the celebration of the Holy... Who leads it? I'm sorry.
Well, who ultimately leads it is Christ. You know, he is the Good Shepherd. He is the one that leads us into the way of the Father. So that's what's happening in the Eucharist, is Christ is leading us into the heart of the Father. He knows that we're people, and ultimately he wants to give us... In the sacraments, he always works through matter and form. So the matter and the form of the Eucharist are... part of that is the priest or the bishop... leading the faithful in the Eucharist. So in the sacrament, the priest or the bishop, we become the represent. We represent Christ. Christ becomes present in our flesh. So we share in that leading people into the Father.
So wouldn't you say it's part of our Heavenly Father's plan of salvation that we actually participate in our own salvation? But yet, when Christ set up the church, he knew he was going to reign in heaven at the right hand of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So by sending the Holy Spirit down upon the church and starting the church with the 12 apostles, he allowed that to branch out so that all of us throughout the world can have an opportunity to worship together as a community and to receive the sacraments that Christ instituted while he was still on earth.
Right, and that's what we receive in Pentecost, which is even a greater gift, because now Christ, not that he was limited before, but he can go beyond space and time. And now he sends his Holy Spirit into every corner of the universe and to every person here. And in a special way, he sets some people aside to be the leaders, and he gifts them with the grace to lead people in the Eucharist.
So as Father Crappie is fond of saying, no priest, no Holy Mass.
No Holy Mass.
No priest, no Holy Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we need the priest to be able to be in the person of Jesus to administer the sacraments.
And not only do we need it, but what a grace, you know, to have a visible representation of Christ, to have Christ with us in every community, to have Christ there present, you know, that Christ is present in Amherst, Ohio, because his priest is there.
Well, and the Gnostics in the early church, they thought that form and matter was evil. And yet, by Christ becoming one of us, and by giving us the form and matter in the sacraments, not only is it not evil, but it helps us encounter God and experience God in profound ways through the sacraments.
Yeah, I mean, God knows what we need, you know, and he knows that we are fit, we're embodied souls, you know, so he meets us at our level, and he meets us through matter. He knows that we want to touch God, we want to be embraced by God, we want to hear his voice, we want to see him, and so he uses matter and form to reveal himself to us in a very mystical way, but in a very real way.
And also, as the body of Christ, we can encounter God through one another. In what way is Christ there when the Eucharist is celebrated?
So the UCAT number 216 says, Christ is mysteriously but really present. So as we said before, he's present, though in a mysterious way, in a sacramental way. He's present in the sacrament of the Eucharist. And as often as the church fulfills Christ's command to do this in remembrance of me, breaks the bread and offers the chalice, the same thing takes place today that happened with Christ 2,000 years ago. So we get to share in that experience. And Christ is, he's represented in four ways. So first of all, he's represented in the faith community, the gathered assembly. So Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm present among them. So you are a representative of Christ by coming to Mass. That's why we need you at Mass, you know. We need each other to reveal Christ mm-hmm. to each other in the Eucharist. So the gathered assembly, he's also present in the priest, you know, so the priest becomes the representative of Christ. He is present in the Word. So when you hear the Word proclaimed, Christ is present in that word, and finally in the Eucharist. So when the gifts of bread and wine are brought forth and transformed into his body and blood, that is his ultimate presence with us.
So again, I like the fact, Father, that you keep bringing up the fact that it's a mystery of our faith. As Catholics, we have a lot of things that we believe, but we don't understand. And mm-hmm. this is just another one of those where we don't know how it happens. We don't completely or even a little bit understand.
Yeah, so I think it's okay. You know, it's all right if you don't totally get this, because it's a mystery, you know. So don't beat yourself up if you don't fully understand the Eucharist or don't fully believe in it, you know. And maybe ask God, give me the grace to believe, open my eyes, help me to see. But don't beat yourself up about it if you don't get it, because it's a mystery.
Good point, Father. What happens in the church when she celebrates the Eucharist?
So number 217 says that every time the church celebrates the Eucharist, she stands before the source from which she herself constantly springs anew. So this is the source of our life. By eating the body of Christ, the church becomes the body of Christ. So you and I become his body, which is just another name for the church. So the church is the body of Christ. So in the Eucharist, the sacrifice of Christ who gives himself to us, body and soul, there is room for our whole life. So here's the thing. You can bring yourself just as you are to Christ. You don't have to leave anything at the door. That's why even at the beginning of Mass, we bring our sin. You know, in the penitential rite, we offer God our sin. And he wants to take that on for us. We don't have to leave any part of us at the door.
So the fact is, we're all sinners in need of God's grace. And even though I pray imperfectly, I love imperfectly, mm-hmm. when I go to Mass to worship, I worship imperfectly. But that shouldn't stop me from going to church.
No, he loves having you there. I mean, God delights in you coming to him. He wants to work your problems out for you. You know, I think sometimes we think that we got to get ourselves right before we come to God. No, he wants you as you are. He loves you as you are, and he wants to be a part of working out your salvation. You don't have to do it alone.
I have a friend who has a beautiful phrase. He says he lays all of his problems and troubles, every time he comes to Mass, he lays them at the foot of the cross.
That's a wonderful, yeah.
So he comes with all his problems, all his issues, mm-hmm. all his shortcomings, and every time he goes to Mass, he gives them to Jesus and says, here, Jesus, help me. You know, together, let's fix this. Let's get through
and
this.
And that's part of the gathering, you know, which is an important part of Mass. So sometimes people, you know, come in late or whatever. The idea is that we come a little bit early and take some time to do that. Take some time. I mean, our lives are crazy, you know. So if you come to Mass a little bit early, collect yourself, offer that, put that at the foot of the cross. You know, you're in the church before Mass in silence. Give that to Christ. And there's a time at the opening prayer when the priest says, "Let us pray." There's a pause. Okay. So I mean, hopefully we're not just looking through the ribbons to try to find the prayer. The pause is there so that we can actually take a moment and pray. So that would be the time for you to say, "God, can you help me with this?" You know, or mm-hmm. whatever you need to pray for, that's your time to bring it at that gathering of Mass.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully said, Father. So even though we continually fall short of the glory of God, we need to continue to come to church, give ourselves just as we are to God.
Just as we are. And that's how he desires us. He came to take on all of us. You know, it's just like a wedding vows, through good times and in bad, sickness and health, I will love you. And that's what Christ is doing for us on Sunday when we come together. He's loving us right in the midst of whatever's going on in our week. You know, and so that's why it's so important to keep coming back to him.
And he loves us the way that we are, but he also loves us enough not to let us stay that way.
Yeah, he loves us enough to continue to heal us and to reconcile us and to redeem us.
Well, the Catechism says that one of our responsibilities is to become a saint and to grow in holiness.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of any better way than by receiving Jesus.
We're all called to, and the only way to grow in holiness is by becoming one with Christ, because it's Christ that makes us holy. It's not us. So when we receive Christ in the Eucharist, when we encounter Christ in the Eucharist, when we encounter him in the body of Christ with the gathered assembly, we become Christ, and it's Christ that makes us holy.
So when somebody says to me, "You go to Mass all the time, you must really be holy," I say, "No, I go to Mass all the time because I'm not holy and I want to become holier."
You know, and that's what we hear in the Easter Vigil too, that phrase, "Oh, happy fault, oh, necessary sin of Adam." If we were perfect, we might stop coming to Mass because we didn't need it, you know? And it's almost like we come because we know we need his grace, we need his love, we need his salvation in our life.
Mm-hmm. So, Father, what is the right way to honor the Lord present in the bread and wine?
So, well, the bread and wine are no longer the bread and wine. They become the body and blood of Christ. So because we believe that, we treat them with this great reverence, you know, that, and what we call this is the Blessed Sacrament. So after the Eucharistic Mass, usually there is some leftover, just like when Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fish, there was leftover, and they gathered together into baskets. Well, we gather them all together, and we keep them in the tabernacle. And when we reserve that, we do it primarily for the sick, so that we, as priests and Eucharistic ministers, can take the Eucharist to the sick. But also, it's there for us to adore. And most churches are open, at least during the day, at some point. Fulton Sheen used to end every retreat that he did by saying, especially to his priests, but to all people, anytime he did a retreat for anybody, he would end them by saying, make a holy hour every day. And he encouraged everyone to do that at the end of every retreat, because he knew it's like going and spending time with your best friend, with the person that loves you more than anybody else. It's spending an hour with them and just getting to be in their presence. So, you know, the proper way that we do that when we enter into church is to genuflect. So you can always find where the tabernacle is, because there's a sanctuary lamp, which is usually that red candle. Sometimes it's white. It's usually a red candle by the tabernacle. When you see that, you know the body of Christ is in there. It's marked by the perpetual candle. And you simply genuflect in your right knee and make the sign of the cross. But as I mentioned before, we can also find time to just be with Christ. And it doesn't even have to be a holy hour. Maybe you're coming home from work, all right? And you had a long day. And before you come home and take it all on your family, go ahead and take it out with the Lord. You know, go sit down with Him and let Him unburden you. And then go home.
Mm-hmm.
What a different evening that would be.
That's a good point. We're blessed at Sacred Heart of Jesus and Wadsworth with perpetual adoration.
Oh, which is wonderful.
Yeah, makes it easy to parish. Take those little... one of the saints used to visit our Lord 33 times a day. I can't remember her name, but...
John the 23rd always did that, too. He would make frequent visits to the Blessed Sacrament. You know, throughout his day, he would just go in there and spend a moment. And we can do that, too. You know, we're so blessed to have the Eucharist present in the Blessed Sacrament.
Perfect. So how, as a Catholic Christian, how often are we obliged or should we participate in the celebration of the Eucharist?
So as Catholics, we know, and it's one of the priests, actually the first precept of our church is to attend Sunday Eucharist. And so we are obliged to attend Mass every Sunday. So the Catechism says, the UCAT says, a Catholic Christian is obliged to attend Mass on all Sundays and holy days of obligation. So anyone who is really seeking Jesus' friendship responds as often and as possible to Jesus' personal invitation to the feast. So you're not forced. Nobody is going to make you go to church, but He's inviting you. This is your best friend in the world inviting you to come to His celebration.
And Dr. Scott Hahn says that the Mass and the Eucharist is heaven on earth.
It's heaven. It is.
And again, why wouldn't you want to go? We, you know, if we believed it and really knew that, we'd want to go.
And if you don't get that concept, ask God, help me to see what's going on here.
Give me the grace to
believe it. Give me the grace to believe it.
Great. Well, Father, I appreciate you joining us today, going through the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church on the Holy Eucharist. We've been with Father Michael Denk. And Father, you have a blog spot real quick?
I do. It's fathermichaeldenk.blogspot.com.
Beautiful. Again, thanks for joining us, Father, and thank you, listeners, for joining us today. This is Tim Perry. Until next time, God bless you. Bye now.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.